This is Steve Dale's Other World, and we are going to talk now, are you ready? Hold on to your seats, about the exciting issue of insurance. Oh, you're all sighing, taking a deep breath, saying, what? I have to listen, but I'll tell you, if you listen to this, you will know more for yourself, because insurance is a reality of the world, and at times it can protect us, especially now in what I want to focus on with Mark Friedlander of the Insurance Information Institute, are all those things that seem to be happening now with regularity. No, let me say that again, increased regularity. That's really about right, unfortunately. Hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, wildfires, and the list can go on from there of those disasters that are weather-related. But other things can happen. It could be a gas explosion. It could be something like that, a terrible, I don't want to bring up gun violence, but yes. You know, so I want to talk about insurance for all of those things. And I want to start off with what's happening right now, Mark. As we speak in America, you know, it's hurricane, it seems, after hurricane. The good news is the season isn't too far from ending. The bad news is the season's not ended yet. And even when there's no hurricane, if it's a tropical storm enough to bring a flood, that's usually the problem anyway with hurricanes. It's water, I believe. So how can we, if we can even, protect ourselves for those who live in parts of the country where hurricanes may occur?
Well, Steve, we are in the heart of the hurricane season. So no surprise that we're seeing named storms coming at us from many different directions. In fact, just in the last couple weeks, we've had four named storms. We're now up to five actual hurricanes this season. And as you said, it could even be a tropical storm that's not expected to do major damage, but it could be a major flooding event. And when you talk about hurricanes, you talk about two aspects, wind damage and flood damage.
So what can we insure ourselves for? Can we insure ourselves for both of those? And you're here from the Insurance Institute, so you're not promoting one company or another company. You're just talking, I understand, in general. But is there protection available, viable protection available for, I want to talk about each of these, for flooding and for wind damage? And are they insurance-wise two different events, or is there such a thing as hurricane insurance that covers all of that?
Okay, well, let's start with the wind aspect, because usually that's the first phase of damage you're going to see, wind damage to a home or to a business structure. And that is covered under standard policies, whether for a homeowner, it be homeowner's insurance, for a business owner, it's called a business owner's policy. That covers the wind damage. And then in the 18 coastal states that you see up and down the Atlantic seaboard as well as along the Gulf Coast, all those states being vulnerable to hurricane season, you have what's called a hurricane deductible, and that is separate from your property coverage. So, for example, if it's a designated storm, the insurance carrier will enact that hurricane deductible, and that usually starts at about 2% of the value of your home. So, for example, say your home is worth $300,000. That would mean the first $6,000 of a hurricane wind damage claim would be your deductible for that named storm. So that's part one. Mm-hmm. But the other big aspect of hurricanes is the water, the flood damage. And flood, not just for hurricanes, but 365 days a year, is a separate policy from your property coverage. So, for example, if your neighborhood floods and the water comes into your house, if you don't have flood insurance, you're not covered. So basically, we say flood is from the ground up, and property damage covers from the top down. So, for example, say part of your roof is torn off during the windstorm and water gets into your home, that's covered under your property. So, like I said, from the top, it's property coverage. From the bottom, it's flood coverage. One more aspect, auto. And that's actually a big piece of flood insurance issues. When we have major flood events like we had with Hurricane Harvey 2 years ago, 600,000 cars were damaged or destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's covered under what's called comprehensive coverage in your auto policy. And that's an optional coverage, not very expensive at all. but only about 80% of people take that coverage. That means 20% are not covered. So if your car's sitting on the street during a big flooding event and water gets inside that car and the car is destroyed, you don't have comprehensive coverage, you're out of luck. You're not covered.
I understand.
So you always push that.
I understand that's under the auto insurance, but I want to back up to what you said about flood insurance. I've talked to people that have lived in the hurricane zone who maintain, maybe incorrectly, you're about to tell me, that they can't get flood insurance. So that's catch 22. They know they should have it, but they can't get it. Or I've talked to other people who say, yeah, I can get it, but I'm a senior citizen. I live on a fixed income. I can't afford it because it's really expensive.
That is correct. Well, number one, it's not that you can't get it. It's more the latter. It could be expensive depending on what area you live in. If it's a designated flood zone, say in South Florida, yes, it's going to be much more expensive for your premium than, say, in an area in Maine that might flood. Big difference between Maine and South Florida in terms of the way it's designated for floods. But there are other options, and now there's a lot of private insurers that have entered the flood market, because in the past it was only the National Flood Insurance Program, which is FEMA's program. That's all you could buy. It's the only type of flood insurance you could buy. But over the past few years, we've seen more and more private insurers start to offer flood insurance at reasonable rates. And the other big thing with the private insurers is there's no waiting period, whereas with FEMA's policy, it's a 30-day waiting period. So, for example, you know a storm is coming tomorrow. You can't buy a national flood insurance policy and have it take effect. It's going to be 30 days. So you're not going to be covered for the storm this week. But with some of these private insurers, they're offering no grace period or maybe just 10 days. So it's definitely worth checking out through your insurance agent that you work with to get your all your coverage. Find out what the options are, because there are many options.
Do you recommend in general people work with insurance brokers who work with many companies themselves and can find you the best, quote unquote, deal for what you need? Or are you better off working with, I like that insurance company, I've always liked that insurance company, and to go with one company?
Well, we promote both models, and it's really what you're most comfortable with. You know, if you're interested in shopping and getting multiple quotes, then the independent agent is the way to go. But if you're comfortable with a company that has their own agents, and that's called a captive agent, that's a good way to go as well. There's really no better solution. I mean, you could go either way. It depends what you're looking for and what your end solution is. But there are a variety of ways to shop for insurance.
Now, what if you live in Chicago? What if you live in Kansas City? Your concern isn't so much hurricanes, but rather tornadoes. Are you covered by your homeowner's policy should your home blow up and you end up where Dorothy ended up in The Wizard of Oz?
That's the good news. Not the good news that type of tornado is coming to your neighborhood, but the good news is you are covered if you have property coverage. So your standard homeowner's policy, if you're a homeowner, your standard business owner's policy, if you're a business owner, and even for renters, and we always talk about that, because renters, they live in an apartment building. While the building itself is covered by the owner of that apartment, mm-hmm. the owner of the area, your individual possessions would not be covered. So if, say, the apartment building's hit by a tornado, the building's destroyed, that's something the landlord deals with. But if you've lost all your possessions in your apartment, you need to have renter's insurance in order to get replacement for all that.
Yeah, I want to go back to flooding, because that's a very good point. So we assumed, when we spoke about it, that you own your own home or maybe condominium, but not in a high rise. If you flood on the 40th floor, we're all in big trouble. But on the other, well, not necessarily, pipes break. So let's say you are on the 40th floor and it's a broken pipe. It has nothing to do with an event of nature. Or maybe you're on the first floor and it does have everything to do with a hurricane or a flood of some kind, where you're impacted just like a homeowner would be.
Okay, well, let's take both scenarios. 40th floor pipe burst, and even a single-family home pipe burst, that's covered under your property coverage. That's not a flood event. So totally separate category, that's property coverage. If you're an apartment dweller, you live in the first floor, and that building's flooded, that would be covered under your renter's insurance. A renter does not need to buy flood insurance because you don't own the property. So if things are damaged in your apartment because the first floor flooded from a storm, you are covered with your renter's coverage.
All right, so here's the question that people wonder about. Hopefully people wonder about secondhand. It doesn't impact you, but it impacts somebody, you know? And increasingly more people around America. And the question is, oh, God, all those people lose their homes. Now what? I mean, they've literally lost their home, not to mention all the possessions. So how good is insurance, or does it depend on the policy and the company, but how good is insurance, how adept is insurance at truly replacing all those items and also putting you in a home, I don't even know how they figure it out, that's comparable to the home that you previously were in?
Okay, well, let's back it up, Steve. Insurance is all about protecting your financial assets and giving you peace of mind. That's why you need to have insurance. And the other thing we recommend is meet with your insurance agent at least once a year to review your coverage, make sure there's no gaps, make sure you have the full value of your property covered, because if you do have an entire loss, the home is destroyed in a storm, it needs to be rebuilt, your insurance policy will give you 100% of the value of that home. Of the current value of that home.
How is the home?
The home now, you bought for $200, it's now valued at $300. You need to make sure your coverage is up to that current value, that $300,000. That's why you need to meet with your agent and review your policy.
Mm-hmm. And it's got to be a crazy time for insurance companies because we have let's be honest, insurance companies are companies that are in business to make money. And I don't begrudge that fact, and I believe it's a fact that the insurance industry, company after company, they are not-for-profits. So I understand that. So it's got to be very difficult at a time to find an economic model, I suspect, when on one hand, you've got more of these natural events we've talked about than ever before, maybe in the history of the planet, for all we know. And they're more severe than ever before as well. So not only are there more hurricanes, as you point out, they may be more severe on top of it. And it's not only hurricanes. We haven't even talked, and we will, about fires and fire protection. Well, if there are more of them happening than ever before, how do the insurance companies ensure that they make money without costing so much that people can't afford it? And I want to talk again, I touched on it, but I want to talk more about affordability at some point too. How do they, that seems to be a tightrope.
Well, there's two phases here, Steve. One is the insurance industry today is more well-capitalized than ever before. You know, that's across the board. So that means they are very well-funded to handle major disasters. That's not an issue. But two is, and this especially started with, you know, back in the late 90s after Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida, insurance companies have something that's called reinsurance. So basically, when a disaster hits a certain threshold, the reinsurance that they've purchased from companies that exclusively sell reinsurance to insurance carriers, that kicks in. So, for example, say they have $100 million of losses for a particular storm. They've got to pay out to their insurers, to their policyholders. There might be a certain threshold, say at $40 million, where the reinsurance kicks in. So they need to take $40 million out of their own capital base, the company's own reserves, and then the other $60 million is paid by that reinsurance policy they have. So insurers are very well protected and ready to cover major, natural disaster events.
And I mentioned it earlier. I brought this up earlier about flood insurance, and you said I was right about that, and I was wrong about that. So what I was wrong about, or what people have told me that I'm wrong about is the flood insurance is not available. What is more likely, it's available, but it may not be affordable, at least affordable to that family. Well, I suspect there are lots of families where that can be an issue, affordability.
Right. And, you know, across the board, I believe it's only 6% of households in America have flood insurance. So not to say that all those are vulnerable to floods, but what we've seen is floods could occur just about any place, any time, because 90% of U.S. natural disasters involve some aspect of flooding. So it could be, it's not just hurricane areas like Florida and Alabama and Mississippi and the Carolinas. Major flooding we've seen in the Midwest for many years now,
sure.
Just this past year, especially the upper Midwest. You could see it out west, you know, even flooding in places where it doesn't rain that much. California, you could have flooding events because when it rains there, they have very bad flood, you know, potential for certain areas of California. So it could be just about anywhere. And that's why we recommend talk to your agent about flood insurance, because if you don't live in a high-risk floodplain, flood insurance is extremely affordable. It could be as low as, for a homeowner, $300 premium a year in many areas of the country. So is it worth taking the risk of a $300 premium versus, say, a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 loss? Give you an example. With Hurricane Harvey 2 years ago in the Houston area, the average flood loss was over $100,000 per home. That's per home. And most people did not have flood insurance. So what did they do? They applied to FEMA for special funding. And, of course, FEMA is not going to make you whole. FEMA will help you. But FEMA is not an insurance policy. That's not for replacement insurance. That's for emergencies only. So you may only get a small portion of that $100,000 that you need to pay to repair your home. And then FEMA is also a very long process, too. So you may not see that money for several years. So we tell people, check into flood insurance. Don't rely on FEMA. And as I told you a few moments ago, shop for flood insurance, because there's many options now. It's not just one type of policy anymore. There are affordable options in every market across the country.
So most people have homeowners insurance, which covers fires. Would that include coverage for those incredibly disastrous wildfires that happen in California? And again, like the tornadoes and like the hurricanes we've been talking about, seem to be happening more and more often every year. So does that coverage for my home, or is this different coverage that I need?
No, your property coverage in wildfire-prone areas does cover damage to those fires. So if your home is destroyed by a wildfire and you have property coverage, you are covered. You are fully covered. So you don't need to buy a special policy for wildfires. The only exception in California is earthquakes. Separate, completely separate policy. And interesting enough, it's not a mandatory coverage. That's an optional coverage. But you need to buy it through an organization called the California Earthquake Authority. You can't buy earthquake coverage through your private insurer. So that's kind of a unique situation that was set up by the state. That's the state regulations on insurance there that set that up.
Mm-hmm.
So that is kind of an exception to the rule in terms of perils that may impact your property.
It used to be where people said, hurricanes, it's not going to happen to me. Yeah, I know I live in southern Florida. It's not going to happen. Or, yes, I know I live in the middle of Kansas. But, you know, the tornadoes, when they occur, it's every other year, and usually it's 20 miles from here. I think that the mindset of that's not going to happen to me is beginning to change a little bit. Would you agree with that, Mark, or do you think that we're still have our heads in the sand just a bit?
Well, the insurance industry is trying to get that message out, Steve, that you need to be prepared. And you need to be wary of potential impacts of these major weather events on where you live. You know, we've seen hurricanes cause wind damage 1,000 miles away from the coast. I mean, way up in the Midwest. Several years ago, there was hurricane damage, wind damage in Ohio from a storm that came in from the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you live in Ohio, you think there's no way possible I could have wind damage. Once again, you're not in a hurricane-prone state, so you don't have a special hurricane deductible in those states, but your property coverage would cover wind damage. But the other aspect, we've talked a lot about flood here today, and floods could also occur inland from a hurricane hundreds of miles or more from the coast. So that's why we just can't stop stressing the message, talk to your insurance agent carrier about flood insurance. Don't assume because you don't live anywhere near a coastal area, you're not in a hurricane-prone state, you won't see a flood from a hurricane. It's possible you will.
And even when that event is about to happen and the government is saying evacuate, well, mandatory evacuation or not, people still have a choice. If they stay, are they somehow less likely to be covered? And I don't know that you would know if they're injured as a result. Are they less likely to be covered because the government said, get out?
That's not a coverage issue. That's a personal safety issue. And what we talk about with insurance, Steve, protecting your assets, you can replace your home. You have the proper coverage. You have the right level of coverage for your home. It's going to be fully replaced. You can't replace yourself. You can't replace your family. You can't replace your pets if you stayed in your home and you did not evacuate when you were told to do so. And we see it, you know, in all types of scenarios. We see it with hurricanes. We see it with wildfires. We see it with potential flash flooding scenarios. People just feel they don't want to leave their home. And that's when the rescues come. And, you know, you're putting the emergency management agencies at risk by having to go out and find you.
That's true. That's all true, and I don't disagree with any of that, but sometimes there are reasons why people stay. Legitimate, from their perspective, legitimate reasons. One is, where do I go? So if you don't have family in the neighborhood and you haven't acted quickly, it could be all the places to go except evacuation centers. But you could go there, I get that. Except evacuation centers are all filled. The second problem is, we've still not done a very good job with pets. 60% plus of the population has at least one pet, yet the evacuation centers, by and large, don't allow pets. Now, in some communities, they do have a place right next door where they can put pets, and they kennel pets there, dogs and cats and other animals. They have veterinarians there. It's still not like being with your pet, but at least it's somewhere. But some places don't even have that, and we know, this is not my opinion, we know that most people will not leave if they don't have somewhere to take their pets, and leaving their pet behind is something that people like me adamantly say don't ever do. So I know this is not only it's not an insurance institute issue solely, by any means, but Are you aware of what I speak, and is the Insurance Institute trying to do something about it?
Well, we are. We're working with, you know, local municipalities, working with insurance carriers to make sure that there are evacuation programs in place for pets. And, you know, we've seen more and more, for example, in a state like Florida that's still vulnerable to hurricanes, more and more local municipalities are opening shelters that are pet-friendly. So that's a positive. And then more and more hotel and motel chains also are allowing pets. And, you know, we tell people, plan ahead. Don't wait till the last minute. Check out, if you're going to go 500 miles away, check out where the pet-friendly hotels and motels are in advance. You can't do it at the last minute. You need to be ready. And then the other thing is have a pet disaster kit ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in an area that's vulnerable to disasters, especially in hurricane zones, the pet-ready disaster kit should have, you know, food, medication, a few toys, also have your vet contact info, and if you have pet insurance, bring that with, too. Make sure you're prepared to go when the evacuation order is given. So clearly, it's an area that needs improvement, but it is getting better.
I want to touch on one more topic, and that is small businesses. A hurricane or disaster of any kind happens in community X. I think a significant percent of small businesses never get back in business.
According to the latest FEMA data, Steve, 40% of small businesses will never reopen after disaster. They're out of business for good. And if they do reopen and they're not prepared appropriately, another 25% will fail within a year. And according to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses across the country have no disaster recovery plan in place at all. So we really stress that every type of business should have a disaster recovery plan. Be prepared, have everything worked out, and make sure your employees are part of that process.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you only have 5 employees, everybody has a key role in disaster recovery, and they need to understand it. And we talk about having, you know, for example, at least 1 mock drill a year. So you kind of walk through the scenario. What happens if there's even just a long-term power outage? Say the power's out because of an ice storm up north, and you're out of power for 7 days. What are you going to do? How are you going to notify your customers? How are you going to be prepared to reopen once the power's back on?
Mm-hmm.
You have to think of all of the elements involved with running your business if you are shut down for more than a few hours.
Excellent.
You may not reopen.
Yeah, the information that you provided, and I don't know how long we've been talking here. Whoever thought insurance could be interesting and I could learn so much, Mark? And I have, and I'm grateful for that. Great job. If people want more information, where can they go?
Well, we have all types of information about insurance programs, all the coverages you should look at, as well as storm preparation for all types, and not just storm, but all types of natural disasters, from hurricanes to wildfires to earthquakes, etc. Go to the Insurance Information Institute's website. It's iii.org, real easy to remember, iii.org, and there's a wide array of information and easy to find, and just great ways to prepare and to make sure you are protected. That's the most important thing.
Excellent. Well, I feel more protected just by talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.